This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
This is a song about a place not ruined by the human race, and we'd like to keep it that way. All of us extend a hand, welcome people to enjoy this land. All we ask for is respect. If we don't protect our wilderness, then where will we go? In the sun and in the snow, if it all of the breeze, our mountains and our trees are history. Building towers to the sky, an insult to the eye. We don't want to lose what we have to greedy men. How can you sell what you don't own? Our forests and
and that's the Attic Girls with What We Have Left, which, as you can guess, that leads us into a conversation today about the Northern Pass Project. And John Harrigan is joining us here on Bulldog Live. We're going to take a trip up to the North Country and talk to John sitting there. And I guess you're sitting in your home in Colebrook, right, John?
Actually, I'm down at the office at the News and Sentinel, Brian. But I have my dog with me, so if someone knocks on the door, the dog will bark. But I know you don't. I know you don't run a sanitized show, so it's a real show. So if the dogs will bark, it reminds me of an old nursery rhyme. I'm going to test you here. It was hark, hark, the dogs do bark. The beggars are coming to town. Did you ever hear that?
No, I don't. I do not recall that one.
Well, we had a lot of fun with that because of where we live. We say it a little different. We would say hack, hack, the dogs do back. The bakers are coming to town. So I was thinking, now it's hark, hark, the dogs do bark. Northern Pass is coming to town. But then you could make it hark, hark, the bucks do talk.
And that's the unfortunate thing, because we talk about anything pure. People think of the North Country of New Hampshire, which is just absolutely a spectacular place, and the place that people know that I have certainly learned a lot about over the last few years, that's for sure. And I tell you, nobody knows North Country better than John Harrigan, who you read in the Sunday News, the New Hampshire Union Leader Sunday News, and also a piece ran recently in the Colebrook News and Sentinel, which I shared with our listeners, John, the other day, the piece that you wrote about holding fast against Northern Pass.
Well, I sure appreciate that, Brian. And I think if anybody knows a lot about the North Country, it's you, because you seem to be up here all the time. I actually think that I think you're a wannabe Upper Coos resident, because I keep hearing these about these Brian Tilton sightings. It's like Sasquatch, you know. And somebody tells me they saw you, you know, emerging from a swamp or behind from behind some tree. And they go, the whole thing is, there he goes again. It's Tilton. So I mean, do you have like a double down there that sits in for you with the show?
Exactly. Well, you know, as any smart operative would do, you set up home bases everywhere.
Well, that's right. That's right. It's all done with smoke and mirrors anyway. But you know, you did touch on something, Brian, that's really the pathetic and at its most pitiful about this whole thing. Yeah. And there are many aspects, but one is absolute love of countryside. And I know you've experienced it. You and I talked about that incredible view that you get from the top of Ben Young Hill on 145, which is the so-called back road from Colebrook to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you know, really the pathetic part of it is, not that it just makes the heart ache to think of this thing going through such country. But the fact is that that's all we have left here, and that's the really the pathetic side, is that the only thing we have left after these devastating blows to the economy, which we felt much more keenly up here because we had less space to begin with, is the land and the people it draws and the tourism business that it fosters. Mm-hmm. And it's a real killer. It's almost like the nail in the coffin. People do not come up here to look at huge power lines.
And this is one of the things, too, that people have fought back with very fierce resistance against the proposed Northern Pass project, because it would have gone through land that would uprooted people's livelihoods, whether it's a tree farmer like Bill Weir or whether it's Mark McCulloch in Stratford, who's got a sugar bush there, and that's where he makes his living now, since he can't since the jobs at the Groveton Mill have disappeared. So
right.
That's just two examples, for that matter, or people who have a legacy to the land. Thinks they can come in and write big checks and it'll all be good, and they can go write the press release saying we have the support of the landowners.
Well, we have heard from people, friends in public service, and we have many friends in that fine old company that was a get-it-done building company we all admire. We've had friends in public service say that they never, the people who are the movers and shakers in finance and this kind of thing, never anticipated the fierce reaction to this project. And they now look back and say ruefully that it's because they failed to understand the absolute tenacity and fierceness when it comes to land, to the landscape, as you say, landscape that in many cases has come down through 6, 7, 8 generations. And again, it's all that people have left. People often are the epitome of the old wry saying that they're land rich and money poor.
Yeah, exactly. And you certainly know that up there with looking at all your neighbors. There is a lot of that in Coos County.
Well, yeah, and I'm one of them. I got to tell you, I'd be kicked off my farm if it wasn't for current use. So I guess I fit the bill. But I do get up every morning and look out over just an incredible stretch of landscape. In fact, I can see Lower Quebec from my house, and I can also see Vermont. One of the things I love to say when I speak is that I can see one state, that would be New Hampshire, and two foreign countries.
Yeah, there you go.
The people in Vermont don't like that joke.
Too bad.
Yeah, but that's all a lot of people have left is that landscape and the connection to it. And this thing, for many reasons, strikes right to the core of that. And yet the other thing I hear, very, very frequently, and I alluded to it in the thing that you so kindly read, is that I'm really a proud New Hampshire guy. I love my state, absolutely love it. The old saying is, you love it warts and all, and I know all about the warts. New Hampshire has its failings, but I still love it, and I'm really proud to be a Granite State guy. And I don't like being used as a doormat or an extension cord in a get-rich scheme for consumers down below. It's strictly, strictly a scenario where someone has some allegedly cheap power, and they want to get it down to the teeming multitudes down below the state line, and New Hampshire's being used as a doormat. And I don't like that.
No.
It just goes against every grain of my fiber.
Well, as you were telling us, what the people in certain segments of PSNH underestimated was or failed to do is to get to know the people and their attachment to the land. And the same goes with the folks at Hydro-Québec, which recently received a scathing letter from the Stewartstown Board of Selectmen on that.
Boy, I'm so proud of this little town of Stewartstown, just immediately to the north of Colebrook. Really a depressed town financially, as we all are, struggling to keep the community going. For them to stand up on their hind legs and put it right on town stationery, exactly how they feel, I just think is amazing. In all my years of covering New Hampshire politics and small town government, I don't think I can recall an instance like that. And boy, what an example! They put it right on the line, saying, "This is how people feel." They've demonstrated it very amply at the ballot box in a town meeting, and this goes against everything that we think we stand for.
Yeah, no, it's certainly very good to see that, and I when I have time, I'll certainly share that with our listeners as well. They need to see it. But John Harrigan, I got to tell you something. You lit a fire under my butt back in December when there was a meeting of concerned residents of Colebrook and the surrounding areas of the North Country. When you took to the microphone and you said, look, I'm a media guy, I love media, but the media isn't addressing this green energy claim. And I'll tell you what, John, I spent the last several months, because of you, looking into these claims of so-called clean green energy.
Well, thank you for that, Brian. And, you know, you're a voice in the wilderness. The media in general have given a free pass to the utilities on this issue. And as you have noted, but too few others have, how can you call a project green when it involves flooding millions of acres of tribal lands, displacing native people, inundating burial sites and ancient fishing spots, and also, this is the even bigger point, burying millions and billions of carbon sequestering trees that I think, if I follow my basic schoolboy biology 101, not only sequester carbon, but, hey, produce oxygen. Now, how in the hell that freezes over is such a project green? You know, I don't get it, and the media just have done a rotten job challenging this kind of stuff.
And I wish that there was even more media coverage of the movie that recently made its New Hampshire tour over 2 months in April and May, Seeking the Current, with filmmaker Nicolas Boyer, who appeared on this show, by the way, and it's an awesome movie, and I encourage people to go buy it. You can get it online, you know, all the areas, Seeking the Current. Just Google it, and you'll come across it pretty quickly. And that really takes a look into not only what you pointed out, John, in the carbon sequestering, but also how the carbon is now released through the water into the atmosphere. And not only that, now you've got mercury poisoning, too, in a lot of these areas.
Yeah, which takes 35 years to degrade and disappear from most reservoirs. But, you know, anybody who loves rivers, Brian, and there are many people in your readership who have seen the Merrimack River come back and appreciate the Connecticut and the Saco, will really understand the whole thing about flooding river systems. Quebec has in lockstep, has marched along and flooded most of its free-flowing rivers that empty into the St. Lawrence Seaway. And, you know, one river after another, gorgeous free-flowing rivers have been buried under megatons of water and forever stilled. And now they're down to the last one. And if you love rivers and you love the whole thing about a wild free-flowing river, it'll make you cry to see this movie. And it is playing again, by the way. It's going around the state again.
Oh, is it?
And it does drive home the point that when you flick a light switch in Concord, Manchester, Nashua, Boston, Hartford, someone is paying the price somewhere. And if you've gone to the far north, and I have, and fished in it and canoed in it and flown over it in float planes and looked down at the absolute devastation that these projects have wrought upon the land, it really will make you think when you flick that light switch.
And it'll also make you think, too, that in this country, such a project would never be tolerated.
Well, there you go again. And another nice thing about this country that I love is that we are embarking on one hell of a conservation binge. And, you know, Bob Baker was in my office just the other day. He's, as you know, one of the kingpins fighting this horrible project.
Mm-hmm.
And he noted, and he's repeating for it whenever he can, that we are making such great strides in this country, and particularly in New England, that we are well on the way to obviating, negating the need for any foreign power. I'm talking hydropower, not necessarily fossil fuel, which is another fight we're fighting.
Yeah.
But we're starting to conserve enough power in New England that we are well on the way of not needing any outside power. And in fact, of course, as you know, New Hampshire doesn't need any power. We export 80% as much as we use.
Yeah, no, that's been pointed out many times in this debate as well. So, and look, John, even if they were to say that there is a need for this hydropower from Quebec, the dynamics have changed given what Northeast Energy Link has proven can be done with the wind power project in Maine that, if approved, would run the power line, the transmission line, completely underground, out of sight, along state-owned right-of-ways, where you take away a lot of the issues, particularly about spoiling North Country landscape.
You certainly do. But we have not seen that kind of thinking on this project. And the excuse always given is that it has to go through so much bedrock, which is a matter of fact. I mean, if you know your geology or even, Carol, have a cursory idea of what makes this territory up, we have more than our share of bedrock in this end of the world. Having said that, you have to wonder why there wasn't a little more creative thinking about picking a route through soils and geography that would allow an underground route. And the fact of the matter is that Public Service of New Hampshire would not make any money if the route went down through, say, more forgiving country in Vermont or perhaps more forgiving country in Maine.
Right.
And, pardon us on the outside for thinking that corporate greed might be an issue here, but that's where my bumper sticker came from way back here. It's not about need. It's all about greed.
Exactly.
I feel like the Muhammad Ali of the power struggle, because the other bumper sticker I came up with was no eminent domain for private gain.
Yeah, well, and look how we beat that one. Yeah, we passed House Bill 648. And
we did beat it. And with your help, Brian, I've got to say, you guys really, really helped out there. And we did beat it against a lot of odds. But this is the big one here. And now we're fighting a bunch of people that are going around revisiting people they've met before, landowners.
Yes.
And simply adding zeros to the paychecks. It's just, what do we do against that?
Well, that's just what I was going to ask you, because you're faced with a number of landowners. This is why I said this is something that PS&H would just love to do, keep adding zeros to the check, and then go around with the press release later and say, here's our new route, and this has the support of landowners because they sold to us. Well, John, I've heard from too many sources that people who did sell to Northern Pass did not know that they were selling to Northern Pass, because they go around with all these other shell companies and say, huh, look at this land. This looks good. Can I buy it from you for $1.5 million? Oh, okay, here, take it. But they had no idea it was for Northern Pass, unless you get cases like Bill Weir, the tree farmer in Colebrook, who said, who's this about? What's this for? And then they would tell him and say, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, those are the good stories, and unfortunately, a lot of the early stories conform to what you have said. But now we're down to the really hard to answer cases, and those are situations in which the landowners may have terrific needs and problems that those of us on the outside of the family simply can't know.
Right. Which
is why we have refrained from publicizing people who have sold, because there is no way to really know their circumstances. They could have a sick wife, a sick grandmother. They could have an ailing child. They could be so heavily in debt that they're going to lose the farm or the land, or they could be sending kids to college and desperate because we've lost everything up here for industrial-based income.
Yeah.
So there's no way that we can look beyond the tent walls and see what goes on. But there it is nonetheless, and we're down to maybe 10 landowners or so who are under incredible pressure to sell. And the money is just absolutely dazzling. Not even dazzling is probably the wrong word. It's compelling because the need is so great. So, how do we fight this? Well, we hope that we come down to two or three landowners who are not desperate and who do want to do the right thing as today's temporary stewards of the land, and we'll say, no,
Exactly. And John Harrigan, you also have there at the Colebrook News and Sentinel signs for people to hold fast against Northern Pass.
That's what it says, hold fast against Northern Pass. It's almost like a last stand desperation. But I hope it's not desperation. I hope it's hope. I really think we have a chance of stopping this thing, or at least delaying it until a better route, a more sensible route is found, and making it possible to go underground.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that there's a lot of my listeners who have land up north, who have camps and vacation homes and the like. So if anybody wanted to get a hold of these signs, how would they do so?
Well, you can stop at the News and Sentinel office, which is right in downtown Colebrook. It's right across from the liquor store on Main Street. And we have them in the air. I'm going to try to get them around other places. And I'm also going to order a bigger format, try to get up as many as possible that we can. And we'll just go from there. Hold fast against Northern Pass is where we are. And the more help we get, the better.
Well, we need all the help that we can get, and this has been a very long fight. But, John, I got to tell you what, I don't see anybody tiring out of this. So how long have we been doing this? A year and a half now, at least?
Yeah, going on 2 years.
So, I do have a caller who wants to join this conversation here at 1-866-823-1077 with the couple of minutes that we have remaining with John Harrigan joining us from Colebrook. And we have another John from Concord. John, you're on Bulldog Live along with John Harrigan.
Great. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show, Bulldog.
Thank you.
John, thank you for standing up for a very important fight. I just wanted to... I just jumped in the car here a minute ago and heard that it was you on the line, and I just wanted to say that your articles in the Union Leader are something I look forward to every Sunday, and you bring that Yankee spirit into my into my heart every week when I get beat up here, whether I'm commuting on the highways or just fighting through a tough week at work. It's always a pleasure to have a cup of coffee and read your articles and remember that there's a good side to life too, and it involves camp and it involves country folk and I hope we can stop Northern Pass and you've always been a stand up guy and really appreciate you standing up one more time to stop this.
Well, thank you, John. And I was just going to say to Brian, he was alluding to the fact that people have camps here or vacation homes here or they come to visit family and friends here, but either way, it's everybody's ground. This is the thing. Haven't been here and you don't have a solid connection here, you have a spiritual connection here. It's almost like a Shangri-La view of the North Country. And, it's my ground and it's your ground. And damn it, it's everybody in New Hampshire's ground. It's our ground. It's a state thing. It's not a North Country thing. It's a state thing, and it's sort of almost a state of mind.
It's a special part of the state. I remember being up there, had to be 20 years ago. I met you briefly at the Lancaster Fair, and before I got a little talking to, I had my two black lads sitting at the sign that said "No Dogs Allowed at the Fair," and I got a nice picture of them sitting right in front of that sign. But you're right. The North Country is a special part of the state, and the people that haven't gone up there and spent time simply don't understand that it is the true New Hampshire, and it really is the last vestige of a part of the state where you can find people that are getting up every day before the crack of dawn and working until that sun goes down again. And it's a special place, and there's special people up there, and we simply don't need this Northern Pass project, and I hope we can prevail at the end of the day.
Well, John.
Well, I know Brian's pushing for time, John, but I have to say that it's people like you who care so much and do bust their butts to get up here and savor the place that makes it the special place it is. And also, it's people like you who have in the past rallied to the cause, and this is apolitical. It's nonpartisan. It spans every party line you can think of. This is just a case of you blow the trumpet and people come up over the hill, and that's what's happening here, and that's what makes it such a phenomenal struggle. But thank you for your connection. That's worth more than anything I can think of.
Well, thanks for blowing that trumpet. And Bulldog, you too. You're a champion for you know, things that make sense in this state. And you know, you need a lot of credit too for you know, the hard work you do. So thanks to both of you guys.
It's good to hear, John. I appreciate it greatly. Thank you. Have a good day. All right. And John Harrigan, I got to get going here. I'm up against the clock. And in fact, I do invite people to check out my Northern Pass page at briantilton.com. There are some events. There's one coming up July 1st in Sugar Hill. There's another one coming up later in July in Plymouth on these rights-based ordinances issues and other activities going on right through the summer. Because I think, John, this summer we're going to be hearing a lot more about the Northern Pass Project.
We'll make it happen, Brian, with your help.
All right. Thanks, John. You take care.